Our children are dismissed to children's worship, and blessings upon our leaders as they lead during this time. And oops. The rest of us, I want to invite you, encourage you, challenge you, take out your copy of God's Word or grab a Bible in one of the pew racks in front of you and turn to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. This is one of those passages where I could preach the exact same text, exact same message, but two different places in Scripture. And originally I was going to preach it out of Psalm 18. But then I decided to go to 2 Samuel 22, and you might wonder why. It's the exact same text, but puts it in a better context here in 2 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 7. Originally, I wanted to look at the whole song of David here, but it's a long song. It's longer than the songs we sing sometimes, so we're not going to do that. But we want to finish up our study, our theme, our series on Behold Your God this morning. And today we want to behold our God. He is our help. He is your help. Out of 2 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 7. He is your help. If you're like me, you probably occasionally watch a movie, and after a while, you've seen so many amazing things, you start blurting out things like, that's not possible. I mean, you get it, you know, in the movies, things happen that aren't really realistic, but you're like, man, that's kind of over the top. That's not possible. I mean, nobody can escape that many enemies. Nobody can overcome that many obstacles or car wrecks or whatever, near-death experiences. I mean, this isn't a Chuck Norris movie or anything, right? I mean, yeah, he can, but you know, we just, all right, we go along with it. We keep watching it, but in the back of our minds, we're thinking, you know what? Nobody's that lucky. Nobody can get away with all that. Only in the movies, right? Well, I guess unless you're King David. And then it's not like the movies. It's actually real. And this is real life and the experiences that he had. But I don't want us to miss why he has this larger than life experience and I guess experiences with God. You know, why is it possible that he endured so much and yet came through it in some amazing ways? I mean, just listen. He talks about early in First Samuel. He talks about the lions and bears at times. They would come and attack the sheepfold when he was a young shepherd boy. And he's like, man, when the lions and the bears would come, I'd just strike them down. And if they really put up a fight, I'd just grab them by the beard. You're like, nah, that doesn't happen, does it? Well, how does it happen? Well, here's how it happens. He said, the Lord delivered me. He understood. He understood where his strength and where his provision lied. When he's battling this giant mammoth of a man named Goliath and he defeats him with a sling and a stone, when we ask, how does that happen? I mean, this is stuff of the movies. He says, the battle was the Lord's. That's how it happened. When King Saul tried to kill him time and time again and he sent armies out after him and he escaped the clutches of King Saul time and time again, we see the Lord intervening on his behalf. The Lord saved him. The Lord preserved him. When the Philistines attacked, more than once, we're told before he even went out to battle against the Philistines, he inquired of the Lord. Do you sense the theme here? Do you kind of sense where the ability and the strength and the might and the provision of King David came from? He knew it came from the Lord. Now, let's not get the wrong idea about David, though. David was a man. And being a man, he was a sinner. David wasn't a perfect man, but Scripture does say he was a man after God's own heart. You see, it doesn't, Scripture shows a lot of people who are less than perfect. But when they pursue the Lord, they accomplish great things for the Lord. And David knows from experience, through all of these experiences, that God is his help. And this is the reason for 2 Samuel 22. This is the reason for this song that he pens that later we see in Psalm 18 as well. Well, we don't have time to look at the entire song, but I want us to see at least the first 7 verses of it. So follow along with me as we look at 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 through 7. The Word of God says this: "And David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, 'The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompassed me, the torrents of destruction assailed me, the cords of Sheol entangled me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God I called. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry came to his ears.'" Aren't you grateful for that this morning? Let's pray together. Father, we pray that your word would be not merely informative in our lives, but that it would be instructive and that it would be convicting and challenging. And Father, we pray that through your Holy Spirit this morning, that you would apply your word to our hearts, to our lives, that we might be changed people because of it. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Supposedly, David wrote this song several years after a lot of the experiences, a lot of the toils and the struggles of his life. And he's reflecting back on the things that he went through and how it turned out. And again, this is a song. It's meant to be sung. And you know, I was thinking about music and the songs that we sing and why David pens a song like this and why we have songs like we sing. And I think they're really, really important for us. We all probably like music. Maybe some like rock music, country music, classical music, whatever kind of music. And the point is not telling you, oh, here's the music you should listen to and here's what you should not. But here's what I want to say. We need songs in our lives that point us to Christ. We need songs in our life that exalt God, and we listen to them and we sing them so that through them we're able to sing truths about God, and in doing so we hide that truth in our hearts. We need God glorifying and exalting music. Songs like 2 Samuel 22 that remind us of who God is in our lives and what he has done on our behalf. Now, I think this is important because in general, as people, we're a forgetful people, are we not? It doesn't take very long for us to go through the latest, greatest trial or difficulty in our life for us to forget about last year when the Lord came through and the way he helped us and the way he provided and sustained us. It doesn't take long to forget. You see, in general, we're a forgetful people. We don't always reflect on the ways that God has helped us, and we need to experience God anew. We need to remember what he has done. That's why at times in Israel's history, like when they crossed the Jordan River, God said, "I want you to set up these stones of remembrance. Don't forget this day. You'll be tempted to, but don't forget this day. I was your helper. I was your provider." Well, we'll forget often, and when we do that, we'll stop depending on God. And we'll stop beholding who God truly is. And so this morning, I don't want us to forget who God is. And I want us to reflect back and remember what he has done in our lives, and that he is our great help, so that we will behold him as he truly is. And so I want us to see 3 aspects of God's help from this passage today. Number 1 is this: God is your personal help. God is your personal help. I imagine just about every one of us have heard the old saying, always a bridesmaid, but never the bride, right? Probably heard that Maybe you've even used it. What we usually mean when we say that is the fun experiences always go to somebody else. The most important positions always go to somebody else. The great experiences in life, they always go to somebody else, but never me. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Well, you know, sometimes that saying is quite literally true. There was an article last year, I can't even remember what magazine it was in, but it was about this woman in New York City who was last summer getting ready to take part in her 29th and 30th wedding as a bridesmaid. And yet she had never had the experience of being a bride herself. Now, I don't know. I don't think it's the same way for guys. You know, I mean, I'm not counting the number of times I've been a groomsman, mainly because I don't want to tell you because you'll think I'm sad and pathetic. But it's probably different for women, and I imagine it could be discouraging a little bit at times. I mean, even though we acknowledge that, look, not everybody gets married, and it's not the end of the world if you celebrate with your friends and you're a bridesmaid in their wedding, but God never gives you that spouse, right? You never experience it personally. Well, the only thing I can imagine that would be really, really, really worse would simply be always being a bridesmaid or a groomsman when it comes to experiencing God personally. You know, like everybody else gets to experience Him. Everybody else gets to know Him intimately and personally. And I just kind of live anecdotally through their stories, through their experiences. Like, you know, it's one thing to talk about the God of King David and the ways God helped him, or the God of the Apostle Paul and look at the cool things God did for Paul, or for Jonathan Edwards and the great man of God that he was raised up to be, or the God of Billy Graham and the way that God was able to use him over decades of faithful ministry. It would be one thing to look at them and see how God used them and see how He blessed them and see how He was their help time and time again. But listen, it is a totally different thing to speak of my God, my rock, my shield, my Savior, and all the other attributes that David mentions in this passage. Here's the beauty of the gospel. We are not bridesmaids or groomsmen when it comes to knowing God personally, knowing His help, experiencing Him personally. We get to be intimate with God. You know, David here in verse 3, when we look at verse 3, when he talks about all these ways that God is His rock and His shield and His refuge, he's not claiming the corner market on God's help. He's declaring that this is what is true for every believer. This is true for everyone who placed their trust and their hope in God. You can know this. You can have hope. You can have a refuge. You can have a Savior. You see, he's saying this is for every believer. God is your personal help. And so, in other words, what we're saying this morning is when the currents of life come along, as they do for David, as they do for us, and these currents come along and they would seek to take us under and sweep us away, God is our rock that we can cling to, so we will be anchored and not moved. When the enemy of our soul attacks and he would seek to destroy us, and he comes after us with his the host of the demonic forces and whoever else is against us, God is our fortress that we can run to and be protected. A fortress does not break down, especially when that fortress is God. When sin and temptation would hold us captive or would seek to wreak havoc in our lives, you can call out to the God who is your deliverer, who promises to deliver you in the midst of those trials. When you get discouraged and overwhelmed and you wonder, what is my purpose? What is my value? Why do I even exist? Why am I here? Then call out to the God who is your Savior. And be reminded of who you truly are as a child of God. God is your help Call out to him. He wants to be all of these things: your help, your rock, your refuge, and your Savior. Friends, I want us to understand something very clearly today. God is big enough to handle every situation, every scenario, every problem, every crisis ever known to man and that exists in the world today. But get this, he is also personal enough to care about what's going on in our little world. He's personal enough to deal with the little things in our lives and the big things in our lives that maybe they don't affect anybody else, but boy, they've got us down. Who will I call out to? Am I going to look to the latest self-help book? Am I going to try to muster up my own strength and my own courage? Am I going to turn to Dr. Phil and say, "What should I do, Dr. Phil?" Or am I going to talk, or am I going to turn to King Jesus and say, "I believe that you are my rock, you are my fortress, you are my deliverer and my Savior." It makes a difference. God is not just help. He is our personal help. He is not somebody else's help. He is not the help of other people more godly than us. Church, believer, he is your personal help today. But you know what? Scripture says more than that here in our passage. Not only is God our personal help, God is your praiseworthy help. And let's never forget that part. God is your praiseworthy help. Someone once said, there are two kinds of people in this world. There are the people who complain that roses have thorns, and there are people who rejoice that thorns have roses. You ever thought about that? Two kinds of people. I don't know which kind of person you are today, but I think we know which one we ought to be. And I think it's pretty clear the kind of person King David was. He was the kind of guy who tended to rejoice that thorns had roses. And he could rejoice in the roses. He said in the midst of the battles of his life there in verse 4, what do I do? He says, I call upon the Lord who's worthy to be praised. That's what I do. Yeah, there are thorns, but I recognize the rose. I recognize the Lord in the midst of them. And you know, it would be really easy for us to say here this morning, people who are so-called blessed in life, you know, it's really easy for them to praise the Lord. Or, you know, if God just gave me more money in my bank accounts to take care of my family, then I would praise him more. Or maybe if I had less difficulties or struggles in my life, then I would think to praise God more. Or if God simply gave me a more godly spouse that didn't distract me from him all the time, I would give him praise more in my life. We could make all kinds of excuses, but listen, it would be a foolish, foolish thing to think that King David and other godly men and women never had thorns in their life. Never went through the difficulties and the trials in their life. That's why David was quick to praise God, because he recognized the thorns, but he didn't want to dwell on the thorns. He wanted to see the rose. He wanted to see Jesus through it all. I've mentioned some of his battles earlier. He dealt with sin. He dealt with enemies on every side. He dealt with sadness. I mean, he dealt with all sorts of struggles. But listen, it's because of these things that he knew God to be his help, and he praised him for it. If we're the type of people, and I think it takes a selfish person, which is all of us at times, if we're the type of people who thinks the Christian life ought to have no difficulties, no struggles, no thorns along the way, then here, let me make a promise to you today. You will never experience the fullness of God in your life. Because among other things, you will never experience him as your help. That desperate rock and refuge that you have to turn to. And when we don't experience God in those ways, in the fullness of who he is, we will not give him the fullness of our worship either. David said, I got the thorns, but God's my help. And then I get to praise him when he helps. Church, if I could challenge us in one area today, it would simply be this. Stop running from God when things don't go the way you plan in life. Stop running from the church when you get down and you get discouraged in life. Stop running from the only one who can be your rock and your refuge, who can be your strength, who can be your help. Flee to Him. Flee to Him. Listen, my mere words can't convince you that God is a helper who is worthy to be praised. I could stand up here till 2 o'clock. Some of you would begin filing out by then. But I could stand up here till late this afternoon and hammer all the ways that God is your help and you ought to praise Him. But it wouldn't do any good unless you've experienced it firsthand. In the words of Psalm 34:8, church, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. How do you experience that? You have to taste it and see it for yourself. I can't describe it fully enough. Your friends can't tell you their stories enough. You have to taste and see for yourself. And I assure you, when you behold God as your help, you will become one who better praises God and desires to praise God. He is our personal help. He is our praiseworthy help. And one of the reasons that He is a praiseworthy help is for the third thing today that we want to look at. It's because God is your present help. God is your very present help. I think it's one of an unfortunate but probably true reality in the world that we live in, but the stereotypes that dads often have. Watch enough TV, watch movies or TV shows, and you'll see the stereotype of dad. It's never good, is it? I mean, rarely is it good. There's all kinds of stereotypes of dad. Oh, he's the fun guy when he's home. Just don't count on him to be home very much. Dad is great at providing materially and physically for our family, but he has no clue what's going on in his kids' lives. Rarely shows up to any of their events, doesn't go to church with them. You know, some dads, they simply love their hobbies or their buddies or their careers more than being present with their family. And you know what? We could throw stones at that stereotype all day long, but let's just be real. It is probably true for some moms as well. It's just fact, isn't it? It's not everybody. But you have this stereotype of who dads are. I was thinking here just a couple of weeks ago, I was watching one of the Indiana Jones movies with the family at home. And I just remembered one particular exchange between Indiana and his dad, you know, Sean Connery in the movie. And they don't have a good relationship. His dad is an archaeologist. And at one point, Indiana Jones tells his father, "What you taught me was that I was less important to you than people who had been dead for 500 years in another country. And I learned it so well that we've hardly spoken for 20 years." There's the stereotype. There's the reality for so many people with their dads. And so is it any wonder that Christians fail to see their Father God as their faithful help? Is it any wonder? God's great, sure. He's wonderful. He's awesome when He shows up. When He's there, when He actually does something in my life. Hey, listen, we need to fix this stereotype today. Yeah, let's work on it in our own lives, men, women, but we need to fix this stereotype when it comes to understanding our Father God. Let's rightly see God the way King David did in verse 7. Look at verse 7 one more time. He says here in the verse, "In my distress I called upon the Lord, to my God I called." And then what happened? "From His temple He heard my voice, and my cry came to His ears." Now, do you assume that David was the only one crying out to the Lord at that time? No, but He has a personal ear for each one of us. He's present for each one of us. He is a present help in our lives. God hears and he is attentive to you. And we don't have time to read the rest of 2 Samuel chapter 22, but if you were to take the time this afternoon, wouldn't be a bad thing. If you were to take the time to read the rest of chapter 22, you would see the ways that God has helped him. The way that he heard and responded in a very personal and a very present way to the need of King David. And it wasn't just because he had king before his name. It was because he was faithful. He was faithful. Christian, there's no need to wonder today. Let's put this to bed. Let's put it to rest. There's no need to wonder today if God is actually there, if he's actually listening, if he's actually caring about you, caring about your need, caring about what's going on in your life. The reality is simply this. He is present. He said his spirit would indwell us. I don't know how much more present it could be than to actually indwell you, but that's what God does. Psalm 46:1 promises us, tells us, God is your refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. I will not fear. God is my very present help in trouble. And listen, if you're here this morning and you're living a life of fear, maybe you're living a life of anxiety, maybe you have one of those woe is me lives. I don't have any friends anymore. I don't have anybody who cares about me. Nobody who loves me. I hope that's not true here in our church. But if it is, no, it's not true with God. Understand this. God has not deserted you. You can be certain of James 4:8, where it tells us if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And listen, let's not be mistaken here. It does not mean that God is somewhere at a distance and he's waiting for me to run my way to him. No, God is very present with us. Very, very present. It simply means if I draw near to God personally, experientially, in the very soul of who I am, then I will be assured of his presence and his care and his power. In my life, he was there all along. But do you sense him drawing near to you? Church, are you drawing near to him? It's not a matter of where is God. It's a matter of, am I experiencing him? Do I know him as my help? You know, the way I see it, we could easily leave here today with a tragic misunderstanding, and I feel compelled to mention this. I feel compelled to give a warning, to encourage us to think rightly about what we've seen, what we've talked about. There could be a tragic misunderstanding of God today, and that would simply be this. To think that we can live without the reign and the power and the help of God in our lives until you need him. Until you have a trial. Until you have trouble in your life. To think that I can live without God until I desperately need God. And listen, don't you believe for a minute that God is some genie inside a lamp that we just rub on when we need him. Because God simply demands our faithfulness and obedience. He does. The blessing today, the blessing is to know that God is our very personal, very praiseworthy, and very present help today. That's the blessing. The challenge is simply this, to draw near to God. To draw near to God and live a life of faithfulness and praise. It's only through this that we'll experience his ever-present help. That we'll know him the way King David did. That we'll be able to rejoice in him the way King David did. And it could be, listen, let's be real for a minute. It could be that maybe as you gathered with us this morning, and we were praising God through music a little while ago, and you just didn't feel like you could sing. Not because there's something wrong with your voice, but there's something wrong with your heart. You didn't feel like you could sing. I think the problem may be, maybe not a lack of a singing voice, but a lack of experiencing God in your day-to-day life. And I'm not trying to step on toes there. I just think that's reality. When you experience God, you praise Him. That's what happened in David's life. That's what happens in the faithful men and women in Scripture. That's what will happen in our lives as well. Knowing God is your hope, listen, it begins with a life that is surrendered to God. That is surrendered to God. And I want to ask you this morning, have you trusted today in the finished work of Christ that we celebrated a moment ago? The finished work of Christ. The body that was broken on your behalf. The blood that was poured out because it covered your sin. Have you trusted in the finished work of Christ on the cross today for your salvation? Or is He just, you know, that superpower that we turn to when we're desperately in trouble? In the former, He'll be your Savior. In the latter, He's probably not going to respond. Do you know God as your ever-present help today? I hope you do. I hope you're able to behold Him. I hope through this whole series, we've seen the many, many ways that we should be beholding God and celebrating and praising who He is. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy. We're going to have a time of invitation here in just a moment. We're going to sing another song. And we're going to give God praise. And we're going to sing truths. Truths about our God. Church, would you hide them in your heart? Maybe you need to come this morning and deal with something that's on your heart. It could be a matter of salvation. I mean, it could be a life and death issue like salvation. And you need to come and say, I need to get right with the Lord. I need to turn from my sin and turn to Jesus for salvation. No greater moment than right now. I'll be at the front here in a moment. I would love to talk to you about salvation. It could be just that we need to be rejuvenated. That we need to have the joy of our salvation restored to us as King David prayed in Psalm 51. Whatever that need is today, as we sing here in just a moment, would you take it to the Lord? Maybe you need to pray with somebody else. Bring them along with you and just come pray. Maybe you need to come talk to me, and I'd be glad to do that. Let's pray together. Father, we are reminded this morning that there is no God like our God. That there is no God but our God. A very personal and ever-present help, yes, in times of trouble. But oh, in those everyday moments of our lives when we are still dependent people. And Father, we pray this morning that You would help us to be refreshed and reminded of those truths. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here who still needs to surrender, who still needs to behold Christ as that all-sufficient Savior in their life, that you would make this day the day of their salvation. Father, we trust You, and we give ourselves to You as we sing and praise at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.